Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Darling, Confessions of a Former Megachurch Singer. My name is Becky Eikema, and today's topic, I believe, is vital. We are calling this episode, The Idea of You. This is something that matters in the hiring process. It matters when adding volunteers to your team. It matters in friendships and romantic relationships. We're going to be taking on this topic today and pulling from my own church experiences, but I really invite you to translate this topic into the areas that make sense for you. There's a song that I love, and the chorus of it goes, I fall so hard inside the idea of you. That's why with you, I can't say what I mean. I wanna stay, but I think I'm getting out of here. I fall so hard inside the idea of you. The idea of you. This song stays with me because it has been my lived experience countless times, and I wonder if anyone else can relate to that. Have you ever fallen in love with the idea of a person, but you don't really know them? Has someone or some organization fallen in love with the idea of you, but they really don't know you? Or do they tack things onto you that they assume you are for or against because they have a certain idea of you in their head? You see, this happens to us, and we ourselves do this to others. I myself have fallen in love with the idea of a church before, of a specific organization. I have fallen in love with humans before and then really gotten to know them. I have fallen in love with the idea of what a job could be and been mistaken. I've filled in enough gaps with my own assumptions only to be embarrassingly mistaken. This tendency is a real liability. So let's dive in. All right, we live in a fast-paced world these days. One of the travesties I've discovered over the past few years is that we move so quickly that as we meet someone, we can be prone to filling in the blanks. We get to know a few data points on a person, and then we fill in the rest. I want to talk about my life in the fishbowl. This is my experience living and working and learning my craft within a megachurch space. This too harkens back to season 3, episode 1 on church stardom. And I invite you to go back and listen to that first episode of this new season if you haven't yet. It's going to give a little bit more context to what I'm talking about. So life in a fishbowl, what do I even mean by that? Well, if anybody's ever owned a goldfish or some kind of betta fish, you know that they live in this like container that you can see all which way around, right? And the fish is just kind of on display doing what it does. And we ourselves can react to it. We can tap on the glass. We can make comments about it. We can kind of talk to it from a distance though. And this fish is just kind of like living its life. I often felt like I was living life and learning my skills in a fishbowl when I was in megachurch world. It's where I was honing my skills. I remember the very first time that I was invited to sing, and I had been like really used to playing guitar and leading worship. Like every week that I was serving for years, it was with a guitar in hand. But this particular instance, my very first time at megachurch space, they had no interest in me playing a guitar, which is totally fine. But they asked me to set aside the guitar. And I remember looking at one of my vocalist friends going like, what do I do with my hands? It was those types of things that I was learning and growing and exploring within what felt like a fishbowl. Okay, so how does this relate to the idea of you topic? We're going to dive into a couple instances here. So probably like a few years into my time working on staff in megachurch world, there was a far off rumor that I was pregnant. Okay, so here's the deal. I had been married for a couple years. My husband was playing bass on the regular on Sundays there as well. And for some reason, maybe I wore a shirt that wasn't uber flattering some weekend. I don't know how it happened, but the rumor developed that I was pregnant. Here I was like 20, 27, maybe 28. And at the time, we were like years away from being ready to enter into that chapter of our lives. And it hadn't happened for us. And we were hoping that we, quite honestly, had a little time more before that happened, which ended up being our story. And I am grateful for both of those times in our lives. But the rumor spread, and I had no idea. But all of a sudden, I had these strangers coming up to me with big smiles on their faces, putting their hands, like physically touching my abdomen, saying that they had heard the good news. This is how I heard about my own good news. I had no idea that this was a rumor that was going around until I had these strangers coming up and just like touching my body and talking about this good news and things that they had been praying for. While the intentions were well-meaning, I felt physically so invaded. Someone had fallen in love with the idea of what I should have in that moment and what they thought I had in my life. And then all of a sudden, through I don't know how, a modern day experience of the game of telephone, the rumor just spread. But I remember specifically like an older gentleman coming up to me, and he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "This is what I have been specifically praying for you. I have been praying that the Lord would give you and Nathan a child. We are so happy for you." And at the moment, I mean, it felt really strange to have to then awkwardly share with a grown-up whose heart was so in a place of like good intent to say, "Actually, I'm not pregnant. And what I'm thinking is, I don't want to be right now either. And you don't even know me. And I don't even know your name. And I've never seen you before." But you see, I had represented way more to the people in the congregation, to people I had never met yet. They were seeing me every single weekend, and that is a high and holy calling. But the truth is, they felt way closer to me, and I didn't know them. It felt invasive. They had fallen in love with the idea of me. They had fallen in love with the idea of what they wanted for me. I've discovered as a darling of megachurch stages that people fall in love with the idea of me. At this time of recording, I am currently a white, blonde, middle-aged woman who can pass a little bit younger than I actually am. I am relatively okay to look at, and I have a genuine smile that makes people feel safe and disarmed. And it's genuine. I will not give out a fake smile. Like I've mentioned before, I am the worst actor in the world, and it's not even worth trying to fake a smile. One of the things about being on a church platform is people will feel closer to you than you necessarily feel about each and every one of them. You won't have the opportunity to know every single person who feels as though they know you as closely. There is a beauty in that affinity and trust that is grown. But also it can make things feel a little strange, and it is like the prime fertile ground for causing an idea of a person to form. When we fill in the blanks, it's not good. Okay, I'm going to share another story with you. Okay, this is about the song "So Will I," the Hillsong song. It's so stinking beautiful. I love the song. So it was my first or second Sunday leading at a new church that's kind of like a mid-sized megachurch space, okay? And after the service, we had led that song. There was cello, full band. Just beautiful graphics behind. Just really, really worshipful moment. Giving God thanks for that part of God that formed everything from nothing. A woman came backstage who had been a part of the church for a long time, and she thanked me profusely for the song. She introduced herself to me, we chatted, and then she said, "I just can't believe people believe in the Big Bang." She assumed that I was a young earth creationist in that moment. She didn't ask, she assumed. She filled in the blanks of what she thought. All right, so I have another instance for you, and this comes within the church search hiring world. That is another aspect of what I do in my life. So I was new to the team, and truly shadowing a team member who had been doing this for a long, long time, and he's a pro. He's just incredible at it. So he and I went to this first job for me together, and that Sunday morning, as we met people and observed the service, people immediately said hi to my male counterpart, and then they said, "Oh, and I assume you are Mrs. fill in the blank of my counterpart's name." "No, you assume wrong. I, too, am an associate here with a very different last name and background." The little wife wasn't brought onto the man's work trip. Essentially, people had filled in the blanks that because there were two of us there, clearly the man was the one who was there to help with this hire, and I was his little wife, come along for the ride. Oh, man, I had a really hard time with that one, but I bit my lip well. Here's the deal, friends. I don't fit the boxes you want me to. And really, none of us do. We are complex beings with dreams, passions, opinions, discontents, and our own soapboxes. More than once, I've led at a church and been asked if I'd want to take their open worship position. Every time, I am so incredibly grateful and honored. That shows a great deal of trust and confidence, and I hold that with humility and with thanks. I know that won't always be the case, and so for now, I'm so grateful anytime somebody offers that to me. But the truth is, they wouldn't want me. I mean, if they really knew me, like really took the time to know me, they would know that I wasn't exactly the kind of leader they would want in their position for this reason or for that. The tricky thing is, I fit enough of the profile. Externally, I check 3 or 4 boxes in the wish list, and they assume I'll fit into the rest smoothly. I'll play by the rules, and I'll fit the culture enough. I'll be able to translate my darlingness to their stage and to their staff. I will help move the needle. I will help push the ball down the field, whatever metaphor you want to use. I will help and could help with those things. It is really possible that I could. But what gets at my spirit is the lack of truly wanting to know me in order to vet those things out. What I grow weary of is someone falling in love with the idea of me, but not me. All right, let's flip this. Have you ever been the subject to someone falling in love with the idea of you? Have you ever taken a position and found out that parts of it you were wanted there, but other parts of who you are, they would prefer you keep quiet or worse, change? Have you ever unintentionally fallen in love with the idea of someone, some organization maybe, something, only to feel duped when they don't fit the image of what you filled in for them? So here's the so what of this episode. I want to leave you with a few takeaways, some food for thought, if you will. 1, don't fall in love with the exterior checkboxes and assume the internal checkboxes will check out too. Interview the whole person. 2, don't assume you know a person's story, preferences, or justice leanings. 3, if you are truly invested in a friendship or a potential working relationship with someone, ask them about themselves. Ask about their family. Ask about the way they think, the way they lead, the way they create, the way and the rhythm of their communication. Ask them how they react in difficult situations, because you know those are going to come up. 4, we all have a story. We are a complex web of experiences that have shaped our worldview. May we be able to hold space for people who see the world a little differently than us and find appreciation in it. Now, I want to leave you with just a few thoughts for those of you who are in the business of building your own team. Okay, as you are interviewing people, as you are auditioning folks, as you are cultivating a team, think on these things. Major on the majors and minor on the minors. Truly know what your deal breakers are in your culture and know where you can bend as you are interviewing and auditioning people. You may be interviewing a lighting director who kills at programming moving lights and working with haze. They may also love Dungeons & Dragons, and they love talking about it. They may also love leading a Bible study once a month for their team members. We are beautiful, complex, intricate sons and daughters of God. Can you hold space for the fullness of a person? Again, focus on those majors and less on the minors. What are those deal breakers for your culture? These things matter as you are hiring and auditioning and building out a team. Really get to know the person you are bringing onto a team or considering for something, for some opportunity. Likewise, get to know who will be your supervisor and get to know the ins and outs of an organization beyond the idea of it. Resist the urge to fill in the dots. And lastly, don't assume, because we all know what assuming does. All right, friends, that's enough on this topic of falling in love with the idea of someone or something. Thank you so much for sticking with us. I would love your thoughts. If you yourself have experienced someone or some organization falling in love with the idea of you, but not truly you. And then likewise, if you yourself have fallen in love with the idea of a church or a nonprofit, some organization of what something could be, I invite you to reach out to me. I would love to hear your own story. Know that I will hold it close to my heart. You can write to me at darlingthepodcast@gmail.com and look forward to connecting here soon. Thanks all. Be well. And remember, really get to know the entire person. Take care.